If you open your Bibles tonight to Genesis chapter 22. You've often heard people say that God's timing is never early and it's never late. And that is true. He has perfect timing. He doesn't promote you too soon, and he doesn't reward you too late. But there's an example in Genesis that I want us to look at tonight, and that is of Abraham. So let's take a moment, we'll pray, and then we'll jump right into the Word. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for this day. Lord God, we receive now, we open our minds and our hearts to receive your Word. Lord, I pray that you use me, speak through me, in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter 22, and we're going to start in verse 2. Then he said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and his son, Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and he said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abram built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad, nor do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. That is Jehovah Jireh. We say it Jehovah Jireh. Some things we want to look at. First off, God told him to take his only son and sacrifice him. This is the only son who could legitimately inherit everything that he had and that the promise would come through. He told him to take off and go for a journey. So it's about 3 days. He was about 60 miles away. Anytime you see a one-day journey, figure about 20 miles, okay? So he's about 60 miles away from the land of Moriah, which if you remember back when we were in Genesis on Wednesday nights, we talked, that is actually what is now called Mount Zion, or where Jerusalem is. Or just outside of Jerusalem, where the Temple Mount is. So it said Abraham gathered up all of his belongings, his servants and his son, got everything around, and he took his son. He went 3 days out. Now, sometime between verses 2 and 4, God had another conversation with him or gave him a sign or told him something, because he said he looked up and he saw the place in the distance. So they arrived, didn't mess around, got right to business. Gathered his son, the wood, the fire, and the knife, and they start up the mountain. Now you got to understand, Isaac is one, not a little boy at this particular point. If you remember from the lessons we went over, he's in his 30s. So he's a full-grown man, well able to take on a 120-some-year-old man, okay? And he goes up, and he's not stupid. He's made burnt offerings before. Dad, you've got the wood, or I've got the wood, you've got the fire and the knife, but where's the lamb? Now, at this particular moment, who knows what happened, whether God spoke into the spirit of Isaac and said, it'll be all right. Because it says that Abraham just took his son and bound him. I promise you right now, any of my sons find out that I'm going to hurt them and I want to bind them first, they are going to fight me tooth and toenail for all they're worth, because they don't want to get hurt, let alone die. But Isaac allowed his father to do this. Now, interesting thing we need to keep in mind too. What did he say? God will provide. God will provide his own lamb. The first thing you need to understand is Abraham knew God. He was a friend of God. He knew God did not accept human sacrifices. Okay? However, he knew what God had told him. Sacrifice him. So on the way up, Abraham, going on the knowledge of the relationship that he had with God, said, God will provide. His faith was in God that God would provide or resurrect his son. One of those two things was the option. Now, they get to the top, make the altar, binds his son. He's got his throat laid open. He's ready to just take and bring the knife down and cut his neck. I always love the picture that I always saw in my grandma's old King James Bible. And it was just of that. Abraham holding Isaac by his hair and got the knife way up in the air and the angel's hand grabbing his. Because it's at this exact moment, the split second before Abraham, he had already made it up in his mind. He would not have raised the blade if he was not going to do it. He had already made up his mind and he was just about to sink it when the angel of the Lord stepped in and said, Abraham, don't do it. I know now that you fear me. I know that you fear God. And it said at that moment, Abraham looked up and behold, there was a ram, just as he had told his son, stuck in a thicket. You got to understand, rams don't just get stuck in thickets. And if it's a ram, it's a pretty strong creature. They're noted for butting people. You know, it's not going to just get stuck, but this one is stuck and it's bound and cannot escape. And they rose up, they offered it as a sacrifice, and he named that mountain, God will provide. That's where we get again, Jehovah Jireh. What we need to take away from this, first off, God's timing is always perfect. He's not a minute too soon. He's not a moment too late. We're the ones who can't stand it. We see when he's moving, and we can feel the tension when he's waiting. What's he waiting on? There's some things Abraham did. Abraham had to go through, and God is no different then as he is today. God told Abraham to do something. So my question to you today, tonight, what has God told you? What is God speaking to your heart? Has God told you to step out in faith somewhere? This was a faith step. Okay? You got to understand, if you know the next step, it's not faith. If it's laid out right there, okay, yeah, boom. That's not faith. That's walking by sight, which there's nothing wrong with it, but don't call it faith. This was a total faith step because Abraham obviously had scoped the area looking for a ram when he got to the top. Don't think in your heart for 1 minute that Abraham just went up there and let's get it done. I think as a father, Abraham went to the top hoping against hope that there was a ram already there. But that's not what God needed to know. Because Abraham had not passed the test by loading up all the equipment, packing his bags. He didn't pass the test at that point. He didn't pass the test taking the 3-day journey to the mountain. He didn't pass the test loading everything up on his son and going up the mountain. Even though his statement of faith was there, he hadn't passed the test. He didn't pass the test when he built the altar. He hadn't passed the test when he lit the fire. The test was not passed. The test was only passed at the moment that that blade was about to come down and slice the throat of his only son. I mean, you've got to understand how fast the split second timing that God had before that took place. He hadn't passed the test. I look in my own life sometimes and I ask God, what's taking so long here? What about this? What about that? And there's even things God said, well, you've only gone part way. You aren't hearing me on the whole thing. I know what my desire is, and so I think that that's God's desire. God's desire is to bless me. Do you understand that? That is what came out of all of this. Because the angel of the Lord blessed him again. Reaffirmed the blessing. Every test, everything God asks you to do will be backed up by blessing. So, what has God asked you to do? Does it involve taking a 3-day journey? So you got your bags packed. All right, we got our bags. We're standing at the door. God, I'm committed. No, you're not. You're still at home. God said, go 3 days away. So we go the first night. All right, God, you can see I'm serious. Got my bags. I'm heading in the right direction. That's not what he asked you to do. Second night, you camp out. All right, God, I'm here. Third night. All right, God. When you get to where you're supposed to be, it costs you something. It was going to cost Abraham his son. And in Abraham's heart, this is where it had to boil down to it. It had to boil down to Abraham's heart. He had to be willing to follow that through. Okay? A lot of people like to say, well, God, I got up and I stood right on the edge. I stood and I looked down. God said, jump. He didn't say just go to the edge. He said, go to the edge and jump. Now, make sure that you are hearing God if he tells you to go to a cliff and jump. Okay? Just make sure. Because there is that whole thing about tempting the Lord your God. Jesus wouldn't jump off the temple. So God's timing is everything. Yes, Lord, I'll do what you said. I made a commitment in my heart, but I haven't done anything to get to the goal that God told me to do. I look at myself and I say, God, what's going on in this situation? I don't understand it. I'm a little lost, dazed, and confused. Then a revelation came. Maybe the release was something I had to do, but the route I'm going is not the route God wanted me to go. That there are things that he wants for me, but because of fears of my own, don't think that Abraham didn't have a fear. If it doesn't cost you anything, it's not worth having. Right? And that's not saying that somewhere along the line you didn't work for it and God just said, here, I want to bless you with this. You worked for it. You earned that. So the things you get from God, you actually earn them with your faith, and it's a reward for faithfully obeying Him. Okay? But He's not going to give it to you standing at the front door saying, God, I'm packed and ready to go. Let the blessings flow. Oh, I know what I need to do. I need to learn the latest faith mantra. That will bring it. If I say it every day for 7 days straight, it will happen. It has never been known to fail, right? Yes, I am making fun of all of those. I get sick of getting emails. If you don't pass this on, something bad. You know what? Click, something did. I just deleted your mail. Because my blessings aren't based on whether I forward something. My blessings are based on whether I've obeyed God. If God has told me specifically to do something, I had better be obedient in doing that. Not too long ago, God dealt with me to help somebody. And we helped them. I didn't know why. Later on, I'd get to know why. Because God wanted me to minister to that person. Because there was more for that person, but something had happened and had thrown them off course. And I've, praise God, been able to speak into somebody else's life, and another opportunity opened up today. Go figure, you never know where it's going to happen. You just got to be willing to say what needs to be said. So God's rewards are going to come to you only when you fulfilled what it is He asked you to do. Because I'm going to tell you right now, first off, He's not asking you to kill your children. No matter how many times you thought about it, He's not asking you to do it. Okay? But He may ask you to give up something. If God asks you to give up something, the rewards will outweigh the sorrow for that moment that you have. And don't think that just because, okay, God, I got up here, I'm about to give it to Him. God, you're really going to make me do this, aren't you? Exactly. God would never have accepted Isaac. However, for us, if God tells us to do something, we had better doggone do it. Because our reward, the timing, is based on the timing of our obedience. Notice, it was 3 days. Boom, boom, boom. God has told people to do things 20 years ago. And some of these things, that point is dead now. Don't expect a harvest for trying to go through with it now because you missed the opportunity. But there are things that God wants you to do. God does this thing called redirection or recomputing. He knows exactly where you want to go and where He wants you to go. And where He wants you to go is no different than your GPS. He tells you, all right, you missed your turn here. Go a mile down the road. Make a left turn. And come back. Make two lefts. God will get you back to where He needs you. Your reward, your blessing, all of that is in His hands. Timing, but He's not going to bring it about, like I said, just because, oh, hey, suddenly I decided I got my bags. God told me to, I got to go someplace and do something, or God told me to do something, give something, or do something for somebody else. By the way, it's always going to be for somebody else, 9 times out of 10. It's never for yourself. God told me to do this, so I'm, God, I got it out here. I'm about to do it. God, really? We can keep thinking that we can say all the faith mantras we want. We can quote every scripture about faith that there is. You know, not too long ago, I don't know if I've shared this or not about me getting dealing with my youngest son about the fear of deep water. Have I shared any of that yet? Okay, some of you, I know I have, but we recently paid for Justin to have swim lessons. He did great as long as he was in control and could touch the bottom without it going over his head. But when they started taking him to the water where he was not comfortable, he didn't want to go. He didn't want to do what they wanted him to do. Even though he could do it in the shallow water, he wouldn't do it in the deep. And so when I got back from my trip, he had one more day, and I told her, I'll take him to his lesson. I get there. Justin jumped in the water, and they asked for volunteers to do something. And Justin was throwing his hand up. And one of the mothers, overheard her say, "What has gotten into Justin? He has never volunteered to show anything." And he just started showing everything he knew. And she's just like, the mother, she knew who I was. She said, "It's got to be you." And I thought, well, he's got a little bit of motivation today. He either conquers this fear or daddy helps him conquer this fear. And so he started out, they wanted to swim from one side of the pool to the other. Again, water that's right here on him. He can touch the bottom, but it's too close to his face. And he starts swimming, 2 or 3 strokes, stops. "Help, help, help." He realizes he can touch the bottom, and he gets a little further out, and he drifted a little off course, so now he's bouncing on his toes. Gets out there, "Help, help, help, help." And came over and they set him on the side. They helped him get to the other side. And he started crying and hyperventilating. And I just walked to the other side. I said, "Go take a walk. Walk to the end of the pool. And come back." Well, he was supposed to swim back. He never made it. The one instructor spent the rest of the swim lesson working with him on things that he knew. They thought that doing this would help him get over his fear. Well, sometimes you just got to face your fear. And I told him, I said, "If you do not conquer this today, you will conquer it with me." And that afternoon, it just turned out it was a hot day. I was hot, and everybody else wanted to go swimming, so I said, "Let's go to the pond." As soon as I said that, I first off had to go look for my son. I looked for him for 10 minutes because he was hiding. And a pretty good spot too. And he was not giggling like he normally is during hide and seek and all this stuff. He was dead quiet, not moving. And finally I found him. I said, "Come on, just because you hid doesn't mean we're not going." And he started crying. He started throwing a fit. And we loaded up our stuff, loaded all the kids, and we got out there. I said, "All right, let's go out." "No, we can just stay here in the shallow, right?" I said, "You know how to swim in the shallow. You need to go to the deep. I need you to go to the deep." Are you getting that? From a father to a child, I need you to do this. God needs you to go to the deep water sometimes to trust him. And I reassured him, "I will not let you drown. You will not die. No matter what you're thinking, you will not drown." We got out there and I'm, "All right, show me what you know." He starts showing me a little bit. I said, "Now, relax. This child has got a death grip on my biceps. He just looks me in the eye. He says, Daddy, I love you so much. I love you so much, Daddy. I just want to hug you. Daddy, please let me hug you. And I said, Buddy, I know you love me, but you're not saying that right now because you love me. How many times do we do that to God? God, I just want to hold you so close. When God's saying, I need you to trust me. You can do this, child. And he kept going and kept going, and finally, I told him, I said, you will only get 3 strikes, and then you get baptized by fire. Well, I gave him 4 strikes, and this time I picked him up, and I launched him. Mind you, I'm in water up to here, so I knew he couldn't touch. And he came up, you know, just the whole drowning dog or drowning cat thing. And he gets over to me, and he swam away from me, just so you know. He's doggy paddling away from me and around me. And I said, where are you going? And he finally got to where he could say, he's wiping his eyes. He says, you're evil. I said, well, that may be so, but you're going to learn to swim, and you're getting over this irrational fear. Sometimes an irrational fear requires an irrational way of dealing with it, because it didn't work for 2 weeks with lifeguards teaching him. So we kept going on. I'd launch him a couple more times. One point, he even got so frustrated, he comes out gurgling, and he's like, he caught himself. You hate me. No, 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 no. Well, out it went again. He's splashing around, and I knew he was getting tired. I said, I'll give you a break for a minute. Breaks up. No, Daddy, I think I need some time to pray. He's up there in the water, up the edge. He's like, dear Lord, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. I know I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. I don't know how many times he quoted that, but that's what we do as believers to God. Instead of trusting God, we fall on our knees and we find some faith mantra that somebody has got a great lesson on from a revelation that they had to learn by God grabbing them by the seat of their pants and chucking them out into the deep water. We think the mantra is going to save us. You can ask Angel. She's out there floating. He kept calling her, Mommy, Mommy. I said, she doesn't hear you. She is out here for her own enjoyment. You belong to me. He did not quite like that revelation. And I finally had to get up and drag him to the water again. I let him have a break again, and this time he took off running. I am not chasing a 7-year-old, for crying out. He took off running, and I said, you know what? I just about went after him. I thought, no, I'm the father, not the mama, the papa. I said, boy, you get your scrawny little rear end over here now, and I will not tell you again. And he stopped. He could have kept running. We'd have caught him eventually. And he came over, and I gave him a life vest. And we're sizing it up and putting it on. And he said, what's this for? I said, well, I told you eventually you're going off the dock. Now, see, the water where we were at was at my chest. The water off the dock starts off at about 8 feet and drops to 18. And he was dragging his feet. I don't want to, Daddy. I don't want to. He's got a life vest now, and it's got a handle on it. We walked over, and I said, look, see how hard this is? He's like, oh, yeah. He said, this is nothing. Whoop! I pushed him off the dock. He jumps out, and he bobs right to the top. The revelation hit him. The life vest will hold him up. So he doggy paddles over, gets up on the thing. He says, well, that wasn't so bad. I said, good. He stayed in the water. He actually swam out to the deeper water on his own. He swam to her. She's floating in the water where it's like 18 feet. And I had to ask him, I said, why do you keep swimming to mommy? You're just wearing yourself out. Because he finally, I only had to do that two times, folks. He came to the ladder, and he would jump off himself. Finally, we had him jumping off the diving board. It didn't take any real coaxing. But he had to get past the idea that he was going to drown, that he was going to die, that daddy hated him and daddy was evil. God is not evil. God does not hate you. But God needs you. You hearing me? God needs you to get beyond the shallow water. That's not swimming. That's called wading. God needs you in the deep water where it requires faith in your abilities, faith in God. Don't think that just because there has to be a little bit of faith in your own abilities to do something. Standing before people was not an issue for me. I did that as an NCO. I commanded my entire platoon, 90 guys. Wasn't a problem for me standing up in front of people giving orders. Go figure. However, where it required faith was to preach. Talk about the Word of God. Okay, Lord, I can talk about stories, but how do I bring out a lesson that somebody's going to learn something from? That, my friends, is where faith comes in. I have no idea how to do it. God does. So what God needs from us is to trust Him. See, He gets a reward. He got a small reward for conquering it. But he still has to learn to swim in the deep without the life vest. I knew the life vest would help him because that's how I learned. People had showed me the basics, and it's not that I was afraid of the deep water, because I'd jump off bridges and stuff all the time, but my dad was always there to bring me up out of the water and launch me, kind of push me towards the shore. But to learn how to swim, I actually started with a vest myself, and I learned how to do that. I don't know how to swim to win races, but I can swim. Which, praise God, because that's the only thing that kept me from drowning in boot camp. They didn't bother teaching me. They just said, jump off the diving board. I got a pack and a helmet and a rifle and boots on. Yeah, that's the whole point. But you got to trust. You're going to have to trust God. God's asked you, required. Yeah, we're going to back that up. He's not asked you, because ask gives a connotation that there's an option for you to obey or not. There is no option to disobey God. It's not an option. People do it, and they wonder why their life went to hell in a handbasket. There is no option to disobey God. You have but one choice, and that's to obey. And when He gives you His command, it's to do it. Not to sit back and say, well, I think I'm going to take 3 days of fasting and prayer. You either heard God or you didn't. Sometimes you don't have the time for 3 days of fasting and prayer. You should already be listening to the voice of God at all times. I didn't see where Abraham spent 3 days fasting and praying. Oh, I'm sure he was probably fasting on the journey. He probably was, oh, Lord, I'm going to fast. I know you. Trust me, at the beginning of this ministry, and any time we've had any major changes and stuff, we spend time in fasting and prayer. Because we want, okay, God, what's going on? And that's sometimes how we know what direction to go. It's because we've got to shut everything off, everything else out, and listen to God. First off, God had to get Isaac and Abraham away from Sarah. I'm sorry. He had to get them away from her. She was a doting mother. Mothers, you know what I'm talking about. This is your only child. Not one of many. The only one you will ever have. And your husband comes up to you one day and says, God told me to kill our son. What do you think about that? I don't think he told her. Because according to the book of Jasher, the devil actually kind of went to her later while they were gone and said, do you know what Abraham went to do? He went to kill your son. And Jasher records that the stress that that put on her is what killed her. Because notice, the very next chapter is the death of Sarah. She worried herself to death because she did not have the relationship that Abraham had. Guess what, folks? We all can have the same relationship today because of what Jesus Christ has done. So no matter where you are at in your walk, you may be going up against a hitting something. What's going on? God has asked you for something and you refuse to trust Him. And refusing to trust Him is not an option. Because just as Justin found out, you don't trust me and I'm holding you. You will trust me without me holding you. I think I'd rather trust Him right then and there when I can feel Him. But guess what? There comes a point, Daddy's going to launch you, and He expects you in that deep water swimming. He expects you to be able to do the things that He has trained you to do. But I want you to pay special attention to the reward of obedience. I think that this chapter right here exemplifies it the greatest. The greatest thing Abraham, it wasn't money, folks. Abraham had money. Abraham knew how to make money. It was the blessing of God. And the blessing is what really makes you rich. Because yes, you can have wealth, and that's all that it is. It's wealth. So what? You're worried somebody's going to try to finagle it out of you. People are going to try to steal it. You're worried about the stock market. You're worried about the bank being robbed. You're worried about people coming and tearing up your home. Whatever it is. But when you're rich with the blessing, you can have all that, and it doesn't have you. And you know that you're blessed to be a blessing. So God's timing is perfect, folks. It's not a matter of, well, God, are you ever going to move? No, He's actually just waiting for you to fulfill what He's asked you to do. I'd shudder to think, there's been times, I was actually talking to another minister today. He's working a secular job now. He spent 5 years in full-time ministry. He couldn't agree with what the denomination doctrines were, and they wanted him to go deeper into schooling, and he didn't understand and didn't agree with some of the stuff, and so he's no longer ministering. And he says, but I know God's got something for me. So I had the opportunity to talk to him and minister to him a little bit. But see, we all get to a point where we're stuck, and there's got to be a way out. And the way out is usually taking that first step off. God, I know. Because listen, this is comfort. This represents our comfort zone. We're solid. We know what's here. There's nothing there. This is a black hole. I can't see anything. If God has told you, you do not have an option. Faith is not where you see the next step. Faith is moving on in spite of not seeing it. But I'm afraid. Listen, I believe God's actually stirring in us to do something that's got me terrified. And I don't scare easy. Because this could devastate my family. Financially, okay? if it was not God. I'm not saying that I've moved to do it yet, because this is something I want to know. It was something that came into my heart the other day, and since Angela told God she's going to follow my lead, well, then maybe this is what God has been doing. Because I believe in the promises of God. Starting this church was a scary thing. Starting my own business. I left a pretty decent job. As a matter of fact, been asked to be a supervisor. And then I talked to supervisors and they said, "You really don't want this job. You'll make a lot more money, but you don't want the job." Which it turned out to be pretty good that I didn't, because what was it, a year later, Bob? A year later, they closed the business down here and moved it all up north. So where would I have been? I'd have been scrambling trying to find myself in God. But in that year, I had learned to trust Him completely and explicitly. Because I gave up my health insurance, my dental insurance, gave up a close job, guaranteed work. All for people lying to you, stealing, cheating, no health insurance. Oh, by the way, you throw yourself into the category of people who cheat, lie, and steal as well. So, listen. God wants you to swim. Fun is not had in the baby pool. Fun is not in the baby pool. Fun is out there where you can jump and you don't have to worry about hitting the bottom. Unlike I did Sunday, jumping off from the wall. There are rocks in the bottom of that. Not big ones, but they're there. Fun is had when you're not with everybody who's kicking you in the wave pool because they can't stand the bigger waves. But that's where I prefer to be, is out there in the deeper water, floating. Not up in the front where everybody's getting beat up and people trying to swim and they're swimming and they're kicking you. Just kind of makes you want to baptize people instantly. But I promise you this, God will come through. Sometimes His timing is based on our obedience to do what He wants. And that's usually going to require a little bit of uncomfortable. I'm sorry, I just can't do it without. I mean, I can only think of Trisha. She sowed seed. Listen, folks, she sowed seed. I'm gonna share this since your harvest has come. The men's fellowship, the men, when we went to the conferences up in Michigan, she and I knew what it was. And she sowed a big chunk for us to be able to do that. And she sowed it for a godly man. Wasn't long after that. She had her trailer down here in the court paid for. Everything's fine, but then she wanted to move. Buy a house. We're talking totally uncomfortable situation. But by moving herself from one town to the next and by taking a walk to get to know the neighborhood, she came across the man God had for her. You can hit him later, Richard. I'd throw the hat at him. But you see what I'm saying? That's a great example. If she had said, "You know what, God, I'm comfortable in my little trailer." Which, by the way, she no longer lives in the little house that she moved in. She moved into a big one, and then they sold that one and moved to a nicer one, even though I like the other one too. But God has continued, but it's obedience. It's not sitting on our hands and saying, "God, I'm not going to move." Or, God, I'm at the doorway, got my bags packed, let's let the blessings roll. It isn't happening. His timing is perfect. He didn't give the children of Israel the promised land until they had met the promiser. The sad part for all of them is they refused him. Don't refuse to know God. Abraham didn't. And Abraham was called a friend of God. You got to think about that for just a second. The relationship that man had with Abraham, that God had with Abraham, that God would said, I wonder what Abraham thinks about what I'm about to do. Do you think God had to do that? He's God. I'm not going to ask you what to do at my house. Phil, what do you think about me painting my house purple? I don't care. It's my house. I will never do that. But you see what I'm saying? It's God's earth, God's dealing. He didn't have to ask, but because of a relationship that this man had, he asked Abraham what he thought about it. That says something. God knew Abraham would comply. God knew it all. God knew when I told him no, why this guy asked me. He said, I was buying some material for the church here. He said, are you the preacher? And he said, are you the pastor? And I said, well, yeah. You got to understand, folks, I did not look like a pastor. I got a sleeveless shirt on that I snagged a hole right here. It's covered in mud. I've got mud on my pants. My boots are dirty. And I've got a tape measure on my side. I look more like a contractor than the pastor. And he asked me about my testimony, about how I got going. In the middle of Menards, of all the places, and which I told him, I said, I told God no. God knew that within 3 hours I would have talked myself right into obeying. That I wasn't the son that said, yes, Lord, I will obey, and didn't do it. But I was the son that said no and ultimately would do what God said. I don't want to think what my life would have been like had I stood my ground on no. Because, yes, it did require God telling her, burning in her, what about so-and-so? What about this person? What about? I thought, they are older than me. I ain't their babysitter. I'm looking out for number one here. Looking back, I made a good decision. I love all you people. Despite what you do. That was all directed towards Phil. I think I remember a kidney shot the other day. Go ahead, right about here. All right, let's stand. I love you, man, you know that, right? If I quit picking on you, it's when you need to be concerned. And if I don't pick on you enough, it's just because I don't know you well enough to know what you'll take and what you won't. When I walked into the emergency room and he's in there joking about his toe, I bet those nurses had to think we were the weird. Wasn't no boo-hooing and bawling around, man. We just made jokes about his toe all night long. And I still do. I keep threatening to make the other foot match. Let's pray before, lest we digress any further. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this word. And I thank you, Father, for the encouragement that it's even brought to me. Father, there is no condemnation in your word, but encouragement to go on and move and strengthen in the things that you've told us to do. So, Father, I pray now, Father, for those paths that have not been abandoned completely, but that there is still hope in them, Father, I pray that you open those doors. Father, strengthen those who may be in that same situation. They're afraid to step out. They're afraid to do this. So, Lord, I pray for strength and encouragement to them. I pray that this word moves into their life and in their heart. Father, I pray that you bless your people tonight. Bless them with rest and with peace. Strength and courage, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you're dismissed.